Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are excited tonight because this is our last night to be talking about Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life. What on earth am I here for? But tonight we have some really, really, really good discussion because we're going to be talking about the people-pleasing thing. So as you would join us tonight, we're going to start off, as we always do, with song, scripture, and prayer.
Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you.
Amen. Tonight's scripture.
Amen.
Good evening. Tonight's scriptures will be coming from Proverbs 29:25, and we will also look at Galatians chapter 1, and I am going to read 8 through 24 with an emphasis on verse 10. So the first one is only one. This is Proverbs 29:25, and this is today's English version. It is dangerous to be concerned with what other people think of you. If you trust the Lord, you are safe. It is dangerous to be concerned with what other people think of you. But if you trust the Lord, you will be safe. That's Proverbs 29:25 from today's English version. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 24, with an emphasis on 10. And bear with me. I know it's kind of a long one, but I want you to get the gist of it. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, who preaches any other message than the one we told you about. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another message, let him be forever cursed. I will say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel than the one you welcomed, let God's curse fall upon that person. Obviously, this is verse 10. Obviously, I am not trying to please people. No, I am trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I wouldn't be a Christian. I wouldn't be Christ's servant. This follows that, and this is important. Dear brothers and sisters, I solemnly assure you that the good news of salvation which I preach is not based on mere human reasoning or logic. For my message came by the direct revelation from Jesus Christ himself. No one else taught me. You know what I was like when I followed Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted the Christians. I did my best to get rid of them. I was one of the most religious Jews of my own age, and I tried as hard as possible to follow all the old traditions of my religion. But then something happened. For it pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born. What undeserved mercy. Then he revealed his son to me so that I could proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When all this happened to me, I did not rush out to consult with anyone else. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. No, I went away into Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. And it was not until 3 years later that I finally went to Jerusalem for a visit with Peter and stayed there with him for 15 days. And the only other apostle I met with at the time was James, our Lord's brother. You must believe what I am saying, for I declare before God that I am not lying. That after this visit, I went north into the province of Caesarea and Cilicia, and still to the Christians in the Church of Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that the people were saying, the one who used to persecute us now preaches the very faith he tried to destroy. And that gave glory to God because of me. And this is verse 10 again. This is Galatians 1, 8 through 24, but verse 10, obviously, I am not trying to please people. No, I am trying to please God. And if I were still trying Amen. To please people, I would not be Christ's servant. I read for you Proverbs 29:25 and Galatians 1, 8 through 24 with the emphasis on verse 10. May the Lord add a special blessing to his word tonight as we begin to study of the people pleasing trap, and may we follow in pleasing the Lord.
Amen. Amen. One of the exciting things is that this is our last evening to deal with the Rick Warren's book of The Purpose Driven Life. And we thank him for this book because we've gotten lots of insight. We may not have agreed with everything that was in it, but we don't agree with everything and anything. So we are grateful that the high points, I hope, will stay with you, that you've taken notes through the months that we've studied this, that you've not only just listened to it tonight, but you've actually tried to live it out during the week. And as we have grown, which is what will happen if you did those things, as we have grown together, we will be expecting all of us to be accountable for what it is that we learned. And hopefully we will hold each other accountable and remind each other of what we learned during these weeks. We are closing out Brick's final book, chapter, You Were Made for a Mission. We have gone through the purpose-driven life, and it has been and I don't know about you, I can speak for myself, but it has been a serious blessing. We have talked about what on earth am I here for, understanding that we will plan for God's pleasure, understanding as we will plan for God's pleasure, we were formed for God's family. We were created to become like Christ. We were shaped for serving God. And then this last month of You Were Made for Mission, and the very final day of examination is the people-pleasing trap. And for those of you who are on the Bible study, you've had this particular one for 2 weeks now, so you ought to have this one down pat. And if you don't have it, go back to the message group, text message group, and it's been there for 2 weeks. So go back 2 weeks on your message, and it's right in there. So as we get started this week, I don't know about you all, but I am expecting God to do something special tonight. We have Brother Eric who's going to lead us. I ask that you all pray with me and for my family. I ask that you also pray with Mark Bryant. Mark had surgery today and this morning, and we want to pray that Mark is doing well. And at the end, we want to have time to pray for those persons and to even invite others for prayers, requests, and concerns. So we have a lot to be grateful for as we have made it through 42 days, which means 42 days, 42 weeks, in which we've, is that 42 weeks? Almost. Yeah, I guess it is. In which we have dealt with this topic. And next week, as you know, we will be dealing with Revelation. So hopefully everybody was able to get their book. And if you didn't, please text me so that I can figure out how to help so that you have the material to study. And if you're ready to go, let's go, let's go. We need to do a roll call and we'll be ready. Brother Eric?
I'm sorry. Thank you, Dr. Susie. So roll call, who do we have?
Brian from Maine.
Brother Brian, thank you. Glad you're with us. Brother Brett? You're on mute?
There he is.
No,
Brother
I'm here.
Brett?
Yes, sir.
Good. Glad to have you. Naptown in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Joe?
Brother
Mateo on the line tonight?
Brother Mateo, they're not talking tonight. Brother Mateo hadn't made it in yet. He's usually a little bit late. That's all right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Well,
somebody
else?
Ask again. Oh, there goes Brother Carter. Brother Carter.
Brother Carter.
There he is. He just. Carter.
Brother Carter.
Brother
thank
Carter
you.
Is there.
God bless you for being with us. Thank you, brother. We know that you are always working, but take time to be a part of this. We really appreciate it. Anyone else is there who doesn't wish to speak now, you can do so at any time. We're glad to have all of you with us as we broach the flip coin of the envy trap, which we talked about last week. And we all know that a coin has two sides. And this lesson tonight, the people-pleaser trap is the other side of the envy trap. Last week we talked about what envy does and what it is, and envy is what envy is a trap. It's a global sin. It distances your focus away from God, and envy is an insult to God, because basically what it's saying is that you're telling God is that God didn't know what he was doing, and you know better because he didn't make you like somebody else, and if you were God, that's what you would have did. And I told y'all last week that that's very important, because we're talking about God, and how can we think that God makes mistakes? And as I read for you in the 139 Book of Psalms, God doesn't make no junk. He said his workmanship is marvelous. He doesn't make any junk. He doesn't make any mistakes. And so tonight we want to close out our study with the people-pleasing trap. And, you know, last week I talked about, you know, how the Ten Commandments and number 10 was placed where it was and how important that was. And I think it's the same thing with what Rick is saying here as he closes this out of the purpose-driven life, is that he's given us all of the concepts. He's given us all of the information that we need. He's given us everything that we can do to follow what he's saying and to prove to live the purpose-driven life. But there are traps involved, and you need to know what those traps are. And he puts that last so that you – normally that which is last you remember the longest. Think about that. That normally which you discussed last you remember the longest, because it's the lasting impression on your consciousness. And so now we're talking about the one thing that he talked about. You know, last week I gave you envy, which dealt with you and how you feel. But now he's talking about, now I need to teach you about the other side of that coin, being a people pleaser, right, which deals with you and people and how that impacts your relationship with God. Because if you do this, you will never carry out your purpose-driven life. So let's dive into this. The for real question off the bat is that whose approval are you living for?
This is Brett.
Now I know the correct answer. Well, yeah, see, that's the correct answer.
For most people actually do it for their neighbors and friends.
Ah. For the neighbors and friends? For the family? For the significant other?
There you go.
For yourself? For any and everybody that you come into contact with?
There you go. That covers it.
Only the people who have a lot of shiny stuff.
Oh. Or can buy some shiny stuff.
There you go.
I'm laughing about that, but this is serious, because if we're living for all of those folks, if we're living to please all of those folks, you aren't living to please God. I mean, we just aren't. And because God wired us for relationship, each of us carries a desire to be loved, to be valued, and to be appreciated. We long to feel accepted and approved by others, to be alone. So therefore, this longing for belonging, the desire to fit in and feel connected to others, is a driving force behind many choices that we make, both small and great. And God knew that. But the problem becomes when our desire to be accepted, appreciated, and approved by others, without the affirmation of others, we never fully blossom into our own potential. Our growth is stunted. We can only become what God has created us to be with the help of others. But we cannot just live for what other people think for us, because people pleasing is the flip side of envy. Envy says this: I must be like you to be happy. People-pleasing says, I must be liked by you to be happy. Both traps will prevent us from living a purpose-driven life for God's glory. Why do you think that is?
Amen. It takes away
envy
from
says,
our attention.
I must be like you to be happy. People-pleasing says, I must be liked by you to be happy.
This is Brian. The problem with that is it puts our focus on other people who are corrupted and sinful and part of the world rather than on our Creator.
Amen. Amen. If we are concerned about what people think and we're trying to please them, we're not concerned about what God thinks and what God has called us and made us and shaped us to be.
Amen.
And if we're not doing that, we can never have a fulfilled life.
That's right. We don't want to be coached by a person who strikes out 99% of the time.
So this is what Rick says. I believe it is Satan's favorite tool to distract you, and he's talking about rejection and being criticized. That once you know what you're created to do, he whispers, but what will other people think? What if they dislike the changes you make? What if they criticize you for what you say or do? What if they make fun
right.
of you, of what you believe? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the crux of why a lot of believers never tell the story about what Christ has done to them. Because we become consumed with what people
Amen.
Think about us if we tell them our faith and what we believe. And we look foolish to them or we sound foolish to them.
This is Brian. Even though I spent most of my life as information security consultant, I own my own company, so I had to do a lot of marketing and sales. So a lot of my effort and time and money went into looking for prospects. Son of a gun. Somebody tells me I'm foolish about my belief in Jesus or acts in such a way as to contradict how I live, the prospects are coming my way. That makes it a lot easier.
Right. Right.
All right.
Think about your own. Think about your, and Brian, thank you for that, because that's a great analogy. But when you think back to when you first became a Christian, and come on, we all had friends that wasn't in church and didn't believe, you know, we all did. I mean, let's just be real. We all was out there at some point in time, maybe except for Dr. Susie, but we all was out there at one point. So we had friends that didn't believe. Do you think back and think about, oh, man, I can't have that conversation with them. Yeah, they know I'm a Christian. At least they think they know I'm a Christian. Well, I believe they know that I'm a Christian. But I can't have that conversation. Or did you sidestep some of the stuff that y'all was doing together and say, well, you know, Lord, forgive me. They're still my partners. They're still my buddies. They're still my friends. I'm going to hang out with them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And sell yourself short in your relationship to Christ. I'm not saying you ever denied Christ, but I'm saying you lived in a way that makes people think, well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. You know, there's a little commercial back in the day that said only the hairdresser knows for sure. You know, did anybody anybody else go through that? Or are we all straight lacing in the church and sitting on the front pew every Sunday and Wednesday?
Eric, this is Brett. I didn't have a choice because everybody knew my father was a minister and everybody knew that my mother was a Baptist Sunday school teacher. So, hey, they never included me in a lot of stuff, but that's okay. Where they excluded me from a lot of stuff, I learned a lot of other stuff that they wish they hadn't known. So God. God has always been there for me. And I'm going to tell you something. We're talking about envy. I learned in Vietnam, remember when I said that there was times when all I could do was recite the 23rd Psalm?
Right.
Afraid
Amen.
To move. I learned this about life, and it changed me when I was in Vietnam. So when I came back home, excuse this expression, but keep in mind this is before I became a minister. I just didn't give up, whatever you want to put on that.
Don't say it.
Rest behind.
Don't say it, bro. Don't say
rest behind.
I'm not. But my thought was that. No, my thought was this. Nobody is going to take care of me when I come back into the States but me. Nobody's going to pay my bills but me. So what anybody else says, what they think or what they got to say, doesn't mean whatever you want to put in there, okay? Because, hey, it is me doing everything. See, I'm not one of those who went back to my mom and dad to stay with them while I found me a place. When I knew I was coming back to the States, I told my mom, I said, find me an apartment somewhere. And I had already sent out savings bonds to my mom and dad that they had for years. And so
right.
they just took some of that money, put my deposit down. So when I came back, I
Amen.
Had a place to go.
Amen.
But that's
Amen.
Why I tell people today, if you're not paying my bills, you're not taking care of me, you're not feeding me, you're not doing my laundry and stuff, you're not cleaning my house, hey, your opinion doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're a Vietnam vet.
Thank you.
you anyway. I got two uncles just like that who was in Nam, and I got a third uncle that was in the military, but he wasn't in Nam.
Oh,
that ain't his frame of reference. But the two that was
I
in Nam, they got the same uh-huh. reference you got.
There you go.
So Go ahead.
You learn when you're under pressure, when you don't know whether you're going to live or die, that's when you know whether your prayers work or not. And I knew my prayers
Amen.
Worked because I came back intact. And so
Amen.
That's why I
Amen,
tell people,
Amen.
I don't care what you say, hey, I'm not going to turn away from God. Devil can't make me
Amen.
Do
Hallelujah. That man,
Amen.
That's the sermon right there. So I want to read this, and then I want to go into the danger of people-pleasing. I do want to go on that, but I want to read this. This fear of rejection is often such an overwhelming force that we back away from what we know is right, what we know is the right thing
Amen.
To do. It is why peer pressure is so effective in controlling what we do or say. Peer pressure, whether at school, at work, or in our neighborhoods, is rooted in the fear of disapproval or rejection. When school or business or government uses political correctness to stifle God-given freedom to speak and live our consciences, they prey on this fear.
Come on.
Well.
Yeah.
We may know that these things make no difference, but we cannot just go ahead and do them to please others. We must be considerate of the doubts and fears of others who think these things are wrong. Paul said that in Romans 15:1. We can think about what that, but we don't need to be concerned about that. We need to be doing what God has spoken to us to do and what God's word tells us to do.
Amen. Amen.
The people-pleaser trap is baited with a lie. The lie is this. If I can just get everyone to like me, then I'll be happy. But that lie only makes us miserable. Who in this world has ever had everybody like them?
Nobody.
Even
Nobody.
Jesus Christ himself. Even
Jesus.
God Almighty. Nobody. So what makes one of us think that, well, if I could just get everybody to like me, if I could just get so-and-so, if I could, that you're going to be happy. Happiness is predicated on external forces and pressures. You need to be seeking joy. Joy is eternal and bubbles in from the inside. And that's a misconception that the world has. And we used to talk about being filled with joy and not happiness. Because happiness is fleeting. But joy is eternal. And so now we want to cover, there are five dangers of people pleasers. And I'm going to list the five and then we'll talk about them. The first one is people pleasers will cause me, people pleasing will cause me to miss God's will for my life. Wow. People pleasing will cause me to miss God's will for my life. People pleasing prevents my faith from growing. People pleasing leads me to other sins. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
People pleasing causes hypocrisy. And people pleasing silences my life's message. So how does people pleasing cause me to miss God's will for my life? How
this
does people pleasing will cause me? Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah. You get so wrapped up in trying to please everybody around you, with friends, neighbors, relatives, and everybody else, that you forget about God. God is an afterthought. So a lot of times we miss a blessing simply because we don't put God first in our lives, which is where he should be if we are really and truly a Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. God didn't create you to fulfill the expectation of others. You were playing for God's pleasure. God loves watching you be you, not somebody else.
Amen.
Paul says it this way in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motive of our heart. So why do we keep falling into that trap? Why do we keep doing that? Even seasoned Christians. Why? We know what the word says. Yes, Brian.
One of the reasons other people besides myself, I would say we fall into that trap is, we're in the world. We're part of it. We grew up in it. We have business, work, friendships, companionships and relatives who also have grown up in this corrupted world. And it's just so easy, so very easy just to fall into the worldly patterns and just do what everybody else is doing without thinking, because it's automatic, because it's so ingrained in us and we're so conditioned in that way. And that's why Bible reading, prayer, reflection, meditation are so important, because it's really our first line of defense, connecting to the Lord, our Savior, and staying within his will.
Amen. Amen. And I would surmise to you that Satan would have us believe that all of our other relationships are more important than the relationship with God who created us. And my question would be to those folks is that how can that be when we're talking about the God who formed man from the dust and breathed the breath of life, who then created the process of humankind being reproduced in this world. So how can any relationship be more important than that relationship? Because we have the breath of life of living God. And I don't know that many of us really realize that. We just kind of take it for granted, I got life and, God woke me up, that. But you have the breath of life of the living God in you who created man. So how can any relationship be more important than that relationship? And especially if those other relationships try to keep you from the relationship with the most important relationship of the world.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We have some new people on the line. We're not talking about making sure that we're not people-pleasing. So those of you who join us, that's where we are. Feel free to talk and join in.
And we just stated that people-pleasing will cause me to miss God's will for my life. And if we're not being connected to God and trying to please God but trying to please others, we absolutely going to miss God's will for our life because we're too busy doing what
Amen.
Somebody else thinks we ought to do.
Amen.
And we're going to be miserable
because
you're never going to live up to what your dad, your mom, your spouse, your friend, your coworkers, your boss want you to do. You're never going to live up to that. And there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with them because they're trying to get you to do what they want you to do when you should be doing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hey, we're here.
We hear you.
Hey, Brother Derek.
Okay, good. Yes, yes, yes. I just wanted to add something. I didn't know if you could hear me. So, you know, the funny thing is, what's the same today as it was yesterday as it will be tomorrow? Well, God.
Say that again. Say that again.
Okay. I said, what is the same? Or who is the same today? As yesterday and as tomorrow. God. Right?
Amen.
But
Amen.
Me, myself, and each and every one of you, what do we do every day? We change just
a
little bit, don't we? Just like everyone else.
Amen.
God has a standard. He has a definitive standard that doesn't change. Is that correct? Yes. But people... So here I am trying to please people who are constantly changing. How can I ever hit the mark? I can't. Maybe every so often, because even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Twice a day.
Or once a day. That's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, that was a mouthful. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you very much. So people-pleasing prevent my faith from growing. Now, we need to expound on that. Rick says this, the fear of disapproval keeps me from taking risk in my faith. Without risk-taking, my faith cannot be stretched and developed. What do you think it means by that?
Eric, this is Britt.
Yes.
Okay, I want to say this on what the brother before was talking about. One of the problems that we have because we change all the time. 2 minutes ago, I'm not the same person I was then because our cells are constantly rejuvenating. But the thing is that my father taught me that to be more in tune to God, we have to have, that means that you have to devote yourself to a set time when you and God have a one-on-one conversation. You got to have a set time when you read the Bible. You got to have a set time when you are not just praying for yourself, but pray for others. Because whatever you put out there, God's going to give back to you. And the thing is, a lot of people forget, and they just go from day to day. And like I was at my son's house, the 4th, and my granddaughters were talking about, well, Granddaddy, we don't see you on Facebook. How many likes do you have? I said, what do you mean? Well, how many people like your? I said, I don't care. It's not about whether I have people that like me or not. When I talk about God and the Word, and what we should be doing, hey, I don't care if you like me or not. I said, I had cousins that told me I'm too harsh. But no, I'm telling the truth. The truth is not always going to be sweet. Sometimes you get slapped upside the head and the face and kicked in the butt and everything else. But, hey, the truth is the truth.
So
the thing is that we have to understand. Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Go ahead, no.
No, I was just going to say, we so, just have to be disciplined about our faith. Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
You know, what I really like about when we start talking about taking risks, the Bible says you try to get praise from each other, but you do, and try to get the praises, but you do not try to get the praises that come from the only God. So how can you believe? Let me say it again. You try to get praise from each other, but you do not try to get the praise that comes from the only God. So how can you believe? So it's interesting how we will let folks get in the way of our relationship with God. We worried about what people who can't save our soul, don't have no heaven, no hell to put us in. We worried about everything that they got to do and say, but we're not worried about the all-wise God who makes that decision whether we live or die, go to heaven or hell. And so I think it's important to be cognizant of that and to put things relative. As I, the older I get, the more I'm able to go, how important is this? How important is it, you know, that people care, that I care about what people say? And the older you get, the more you realize that, you know, it really don't matter. I'm here to serve the all-wise living God. And, you know, even, and I think, like, you know, Eric always has to talk to me sometimes because I think when we get caught up in a job, people will often make it difficult for us. And we keep forgetting. I can say I forget sometimes because I get caught up in the job. You know, it, you think you're getting caught up in the job, but it really is who you putting first. You know, is it the way God sees it or the way that others see it? And so when you know you've done everything you can to please God, then that's where you leave it and you keep going. That's all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Brother Brett, I really like what you said that you got, that your dad told you discipline. But I also think what he was teaching you, that you have to be intentional.
Yes.
Because that's what that speaks to me about. You have to be intentional about seeking that relationship with God. God is always there, but God wants to know that you want to be there because he's not going to force you to be there. He'll let you just go and go and go and go and go. But he wants to know that you are intentional about being in a relationship with him. And when you make the first step, my grandmother used to always say, if you make one step, God will make two.
Come on. Amen.
And those two steps that he made will get you to make another one, and he'll make two more. And on and on and on. So we do, as Christians, if we say we're believers and we don't want to fall into this people-pleasing, we have to be intentional about our relationship with Christ and with God, and that is predicated on the stuff that Brett talked about in reading and studying and prayer and songs and hymns and small groups and conversations and worship. It's all of that because people-pleasing leads me to other sins. That's the third one. People-pleasing leads me to other sins. And we all know how Reuben agreed to sell his younger brother Joseph because the other brothers were jealous into slavery. Aaron built an altar because the people of Israel said, where's this God that led us out of Egypt, build us an idol? And he did because they pressured him to. Samson broke his vow to God by telling Delilah where his strength came from. Peter denied knowing Jesus when he feared that what others might say at the palace of Pilate.
Come on.
So I also want to give an example.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Susie. I want to give an example that's not a biblical example, but it's a present-day example. You know, oftentimes we have people in the church who are talking about, I want to be anti-racist, pro-reconciling, and yet if you really want to be anti-racist, pro-reconciling, what that means is that you love your brother as you do yourself. You do what God asks you to do, and it says in the Bible that you know you're a Christian by how you love one another. Yet here we get all these people and all these pulpits, all these ministers that have said, I'm anti-racist, pro-reconciling. But how many times have they stood to say Black Lives Matter, that these issues matter, and they talk about it in their pulpits, and they don't. And that's the issue. They're supposed to be caring about people And if you, and the reason why they don't is because they're worried about what somebody's going to say. They're worried about
correct.
What other people think. They're people pleasing. And
that's
the example
right.
I wanted to share.
And you're absolutely
amen.
Right. But when we
amen.
Find ourselves there, 1 Samuel 15, and this actually comes from Saul, who realized that he did something that he didn't need to do. And King Saul, who said, "I've sinned, I've trampled roughshod over God's word and your instructions. I care more about pleasing the people. I let them tell me what to do." He confessed that. And only when we are true, when we know that we have gone against what God's word is and that we're letting the people please us, we need to confess that and ask God to guide and direct us to where we get back to living for God's purpose. But a lot of times we don't see that and we don't confess that because we think it's not there. But it really is there.
That's true.
Amen.
And Rick says this, "Let me be frank. If your friends are causing you to downplay your commitment to Jesus, deny your beliefs, compromise your values, or give up on the dreams God gave you, you need to find new friends." You need to find new friends. If they're trying to get you to do that, you need to find new friends. Birds of a feather flock together. If you're an eagle,
that's
you don't
totally
need to
true.
Be flying with buzzards.
Amen.
All right.
You need to find you some new friends that value what
or,
you value.
Amen.
Or a new wife.
If need be, a new wife. A new husband.
There you go.
I mean, and I know, that, and I'm not making light of that. That is true. If your significant other is not,
come on,
is not trying to follow what God has asked you and them to do, you might need to disassociate. Because Paul told us clearly that you can't. It's difficult. It is very difficult. How did Paul say it? I wish that all were like me that I did not marry, because if you do marry, it's not against God's word, but you're going to find it difficult to please your wife as well as God, and you do have an obligation to your wife. But if that relationship is taking you away from what God has called you and asked you to do and be, and you believe that God has done that and God has showed that to you clearly, you better be talking to God about, hey, what do we do about this situation, Lord?
Yeah, but once you
and,
get vested in something, you're accountable, though, to do what you need to
do and
to be accountable to their relationship.
And I'm not saying that you're not, Dr. Susie, but when you find out, and it becomes, as old Deacon Cotton would say, it becomes so, no, my grandmother, I got to keep them right. It becomes so clear. You want to make it so clear that a fool wouldn't err and a blind man wouldn't stumble. It's so clear that
come
a fool
on.
Wouldn't
come
err
on.
And a blind man won't stumble. And when that becomes clear to you, your relationship with God has to be now at this point. Okay, God, what do we do and how do we handle this? Lord, are you working with me to move this situation to what you need to be? Are you moving this situation where it needs to be? You clearly need to tell me so that I can be sure that a fool wouldn't err and a blind man won't stumble about what it is that you're asking me to do. Yeah, you are committed to that relationship. But how many Christians go into relationships where they didn't consult God in the first place to get in that relationship?
All right.
Yeah, but once they're in there,
all right.
Once they're in there and they become a Christian, they're still accountable to make it work.
Dr. Susie, I'm not
Amen.
Saying that they're not. I'm not saying that they're not, Dr. Susie. I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm not saying you just get up and walk away.
You just
want people to hear.
I understand, Eric, but it's people out there listening who I don't want them to feel that they got a card to just, I'm done with you now.
No.
I'm just wanting to make sure.
No, you don't have a get out of marriage free card. No. No.
This is Joe, you mean?
Yes, Joan. Hey, Joan, how are you?
Good evening to all. You guys are exciting listening to this. It perks me up anyway at the same time. I just wanted to also
come
share
with the truth.
Actually, on because of the situation right now, on that note, and accountability as well, division is not the key to my understanding what I have learned. And I have learned that twice already. And division is not the answer. And what we, when you were baptized at the wedding and you swear to God for better and for worse, and I learned and understood that as well, for better or for worse. So as I know that he will lead whenever you pray for it, but at the same time, perhaps it's also a test for us to see if we're really doing right or wrong. And about Jesus, about pleasing people, I do please a lot of people, but not because I please him to love me. I please him because that's what I was taught, to care, to love. But I found that I'm the one who hurt a lot and abused as well. And I realize now that, more so now, that was a given. But although I learned from being hurt as well, yet on that matter, that was a training for me. That was a test as well to God. But what I understand and learn from him is, how will I go through that without acting like I'm pleasing them, and then they come back to me and hurt me as well, and mock me or use me or anything, take advantage of me. And I like the fact that you said you step out, which is true, make another friend. But this is what I have learned from another a long time ago.
And that's said, probably.
I got one more. Let me say this. It's about Jesus. When Jesus is tough, that made me, really actually made me understand now. When Jesus is tough, he does not hurt. When he is kind, he is not soft. He is steel, S-T-E-E-L, and velvet, servant and king. He is altogether lovely. And since I heard that, he became my, what would Jesus do? That's always come back to me.
Amen. Let me read these two things. This is the first one is Exodus 23:2, and the second one is Proverbs 1:10. It says, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong.
Correct.
The Bible warns, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. It also says, if bad companions tempt you, don't go along with them. Friends who discourage your walk with God are not true friends. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. And I'm going to give a personal testimony. I've only been married once in my life. I'm married late in life. I've been married 18 years now. But in about year two of my marriage, I was doing some work for the organization out of St. Louis, knew that God called me to do that, and I came home from a traveling trip, and my wife tells me, you're going to have to find another job because I don't like being here while you're gone, and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, well, dear, I'm sorry you feel that way. I said, but let me tell you this. You know what kind of work I did when you married me. I'm doing what God has asked me to do. Now, if you don't want to be here, I'm still going to love you. I wish you well. But I'm not getting outside of God's will. I've been outside of God's will, and I don't like that plan. And if you don't want to stay, I'm not going to make you stay. I'm not going to try to force you to stay. You choose to go, wish you well, love you, whatever I can do to help you. Well, that was 16 years ago. We're still married. But when you know that God has called you and asked you and ordained you and specified for you to carry out this will because you were shaped for this.
All right.
The Bible clearly tells us not mother, father, sister, brother, not spouse, not anybody should be standing in your way. Because if you're concerned about that, you're not concerned about what God is asking you to do. Therefore, you are not fit for the kingdom. We read that last week.
All right. Amen.
No, no, it's not a get out of marriage free card. No, it's not that. But you need to be in relationship with God for God to be able to talk to you and guide and direct you and be able to work that situation out for God's will, not yours.
Amen.
People pleasing causes hypocrisy. Anybody about them people that wear different masks? They wear a mask at work. They wear a different mask at the office. They wear, at home, they wear a different mask in the church. But when you really get to know them, you're like, ooh, whoa, wait a minute.
There you go.
Hey, this is Brother Mateo. How y'all doing?
Hey, Brother Mateo.
Hey, Brother Mateo.
Hey, brother. Good to hear you.
How you doing?
I've been here for a while just listening. I want to answer the sister who was worried about pleasing people and then people hurting her and things like that. That's another form of attack from the enemy, because what the enemy does is he takes every single thing about us that we have and he tries to play on it and use it as a pawn. So, for example, you're nice and kind-hearted, so he sends people at you in that direction to take that nice and kind-heartedness away from you. What he was trying to do, not so much take it away from you, but to take advantage of it, which aggravates you and upsets you and hurts you and puts you in a form of depression. That's also a way of being possessed or being controlled by a demon. Depression and sadness and sickness, that's what they're doing to you. So as far as that goes, like you said, Jesus was never mean nor soft. You have to find a middle ground that works for you, and you have one. You just haven't looked at it. So I'm talking real fast because it's kind of long. What I want you to do is, you know, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but pray on it for one. At the same time, when you dealing with people like that and you feel like you're in a situation where it's going to hurt you, stop. You can only help a person so much until you start causing injury or pain to yourself. So once you realize that, you have to stop. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you are going to have to cut some people off. You don't have to be mean when you do it, just like Jesus was to me. But you have to tell them that the relationship you have with them is unhealthy for your walk with Christ, and leave it at that. I know that was a lot, but I hope it helped.
It was very helpful. Thank you. So people pleasing causes hypocrisy, which we say one thing and we do another thing. We fall in a trap. We hide our true selves so that we don't get rejected by others, and we compromise our convictions in order to be socially and politically correct. Jesus never denied us when he died for us. So why should we do that to Jesus? Why should we do that to God? And people pleasing silence is my life's message. What do you think that means? We've been studying that we have a purpose, and God has given us, we talked about a couple weeks ago, our life message. But people pleasing silence is my life's message. What do you think that means?
This is Brian from Maine. What it means is people are perceptive. People are wiser sometimes than they speak, and they're watching us. People who are not Christians can see us behaving like them, and they know that we're doing that in a sinful way. People who are Christians can see the difference even more markedly, and that they know how we should be behaving. They see the problems in their own life and mistakes and sins that they make. So it's real obvious to them that we are being hypocrites when we are. And that stifles our message, because now they can say, aha, why would I want to live like that? Or why would I want to listen to a person who is a hypocrite and who is really not living in accordance to what they're preaching?
Amen.
Good point.
So in the Gospel of St. John, 7:13 and 12:42 and 43, and I want to read this, and then I want to go into how we break free from the people-pleasing trap. John writes this. No one had the courage to speak favorably about him, Jesus, in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. And later he writes, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities did believe in him, but they would not admit it for fear of the Pharisees in case they should be excommunicated. They were more concerned to have the approval of man than to have the approval of God." And what do you think happens to us when we have that concern about the approval of man as the approval of God? We can't
Brother
give our
Eric,
life
this
much?
Is Dr. Susan. I would really like to have everybody kind of give us some examples of what that looks like, because I think we take it for granted that we do that on a regular. When we choose to please man than God, can anybody give us some examples of what that looks like when we please man instead of God in the day-to-day life, real life situation? Hello.
Hello, this is Brother Mateo. I'm thinking. Give me a second.
And that's really part of the problem, Brother Mateo, is it's such a mundane thing, we don't really even pay attention to it. So if the Word tells us to live a particular way, and instead of us doing what we know God wants us to do, and we do the other because we want to please somebody or we want to make them content, even at the smallest of things, that's continuing to please people instead of God. You know, I know situations where in my job, my boss is supposed to be a minister, a chaplain, who says he loves the Lord, yet he will have us do things that I'm like, and you really believe, and you're a minister? I don't do those things. I said, you know, that's against my faith. I don't do that. You know,
This is Derek from Maine. This is Derek from Maine. So when we find ourselves in amongst other people and we see that someone is targeted, someone is made fun of, someone is being degraded, someone is being belittled or neglected, and we fail to speak up, we fail to act.
Well, there it is.
That's an exactly.
That's a great example.
I got another example. He made me think of something when he said that. That was a true example, because like 50 people flashed in my head that I've had to say, "Aren't you a Christian? Why didn't you do something about that?" Another one is man pleasing. I have this thing about me that I'm always showing people that what man is teaching us on that television at work, which I don't watch at home, but at work it's always something, that they're teaching us something besides what the Bible says. And I have some fellow Christian brothers at work whom I love dearly, but they don't want to ever agree with anything I say that disputes man. Like I'll give an example. Elon Musk put in a car into outer space. I said, it's impossible. I said, have you read the Bible? And I say these type of things, and they call me conspiracy theorists or crazy, and they never, ever defend the Word of God against this science made by men. As I constantly try to tell them, science, number one thing science wants to do is to dispute that there's a God. Now, some scientific things are factual and are good, but as a lot of people at my job that are so-called Christians that will immediately jump on the side of science and not defend the Bible just to not look like a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist. And that's my example.
Amen.
That's a good example, Mateo. Amen to that.
That's real.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
That's real. Thank you. So, Dr. Susan, in the interest of time, so how do we break free from the people-pleaser trap? There are six things, and I'm going to go through them, and then we'll have some conversation. Remember that even God can't please everyone. We talked about that earlier. Remember that even God can't please everyone. Remember that I don't need anyone's approval to be happy. I don't need anyone's approval to be happy. Remember that what seems so important now is only temporal. It's only temporary.
Yeah. Amen.
Remember that I only have to please one person.
Amen.
And who is that person? Who's the person we should be trying to please? God. Remember that one day I will give an account of my life to God.
Well,
and remember that God gave me to be me, not somebody else. God shaped me to be me and not somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, Brother Eric, that's so important because people would have you believe there's something wrong with you, that you need to conform and be like them. I live in Maine, and I work in Maine. And so I was involved in a situation where I had to address a lady who was doing something inappropriate in the way that she handled me. And I asked her a question. And see, they're from a different background and region and training. And so I said, so can you still tell me why you didn't pick up the phone and call me? And so she says, well, you know, when you talk to people, you need to just talk to them very soft. And you talk to people. I said, let me explain something. You know, I appreciate what you're trying to share with me. But as long as I'm not disrespecting anybody, I have the right to ask questions as why I'm not being treated equally. And so I just put it out there. And so I don't have to be like you in order to get the questions across or to communicate. People have to learn to accept who each of us are as individuals because God made us all different. And I need to be okay with who God made me to be. You need to be okay with who God made you to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I just bought myself a ratchet set. I think it's 72 pieces. And each one of those individual pieces are different and specific to a particular task. I wonder if you get my point.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The world couldn't be drawn in one color of crayon.
There you go.
Yeah. Exactly. Or like we are all the body of Christ, but if all of us were the leg, we wouldn't be able to do nothing else.
Right. Right.
We won't be able to walk. We won't be able to fix nothing. You know what I mean? We're all the body, but we all have different functions. Like Brian might be a hand, I might be a kneecap. You know what I mean? The other sister there might be a ankle. The other sister might be the connecting foot. But if one of us is not there, you're not moving, you're not going anywhere, and you're not doing anything. So we need every single one of us to function.
Efficient, Brian.
Amen.
Brother Mateo, I'm glad you said that, and I want to bring up and he's departed, but Reverend Miles Monroe.
You
know him. I know Dr. Susie.
Oh yeah.
And his analogy, I always loved. He was a great speaker out of Jamaica, wasn't he, or one of the islands? I think it was Jamaica, but he's one.
It's Jamaica.
Of
no, he's Trinidad.
But Trinidad.
Oh,
right,
it was
Trinidad. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But he always had that analogy about the car and the carburetor and the engine and the spark plug and all that. And, man, when he got on that and he got the rolling, my heart just jumped. Because I worked in the car industry for 10 years, and it's absolutely right. The carburetor needs to do what the carburetor needs to do. The spark plugs need to get the spark from the ignition to the engine block. The engine block, the manifold needs to keep the engine cool, so that it don't run hot. The radiator needs to make sure that the antifreeze is circulating so it don't get hot. And if a car was just a carburetor, you wouldn't go nowhere.
There you go.
If it was just spark plugs, you'd start, but you wouldn't move.
This is Brian from Maine. First of all, thank you, Brother Mateo, for letting me be a hand.
And,
amen.
I do appreciate that, but my background for quite a few years was science, and kind of building on the science discussion from earlier, it's actually science which drove me to question science. It's nature and the observation of a person, the observation of how we're built, and with intricate design, how we and nature are built. It was very obvious to me that it couldn't be done in any random way. And I remember being in a genetics class once, a graduate class, and the professor in front of about 60 of us stood there looking at the mathematical calculations that were necessary. And he said, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you do with math, the probability, and this is a guy, PhD, atheist, geneticist. He said, you really shouldn't use math. You shouldn't try to, you know, do calculations, because it proves, it could be interpreted to prove that the chance of evolution is zero. And I'm sitting there going to myself, amen. You know, and the beauty of that individuality and intricacy even of one finger of a human hand or one paw of a dog is absolute proof in a design that is intentional and infinitely intricate.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Brian, would you mind if I say something to that, my brother? The difference between you and other people are, one, you're open-minded, two, God already had a plan for you, and the most important thing, well, God having a plan is the most important thing, but the other factor that's very important about this is people are seeking a way to disprove God, and they're being indoctrinated, and they never do thinking on their own. Like, I grew up scientific, too. I grew up, like, you know, we're spinning. You know, I used to tell people, I used to try to think that I had this thought that there wasn't, like, a God like we thought. Like, I'm like, I believed in aliens for a while. I'm like, listen, man, we were on a ball spinning through outer space, flying at such and such miles an hour through the galaxy, man. There's got to be other planets and ta-da-da-da and other people, woo-woo. Then I realized that aliens are fallen angels. But see, I wasn't reading my Bible. When I started reading my Bible and started studying my Bible and meditating on the Word, I realized that over 65 times in the Bible says the earth does not move. It says that the earth is set on pillars. It says that the earth can't be moving and shaking except by God, so the earth can't be moving anywhere. It says right in the beginning of old Bibles, I have several of them that said that God put a dome over the earth to separate the waters above from the waters below. So we're flying through the atmosphere and flying through these galaxies. Where's the water? Where's the dome, the firmament, the glass? So it was the fact that you studied that Word, and the Word opened your eyes to science. Am I right?
That's right. Initially, it was the contradictions within science and the impossibility that these things could happen. In another instance, in another science class, it was an anthropology class, the professor stood there and said, you know, the only way that this could have happened would have been a miracle. And everybody just kind of went, for him to actually use the word miracle, and he was a professed atheist, and he used the word miracle, so they could actually use it themselves.
The miracle.
So, amen. So, listen. Let me close my portion with this. I'm gonna turn it back to Dr. Susie. The ways, and as I said, there are six to break free of the people pleasing trap, and I want to repeat these because they're very important. Remember that even God can't please everyone. Somebody's going to be disappointed. And Rick says, you know, some people are praying for rain. Kids are praying for a sunny day. Some people are praying, you know, for snow. And I'm one of those. I don't ever want to see snow in my life. So remember that even God can't please everyone. Remember that I don't need anyone's approval to be happy. Happy is temporal. It's an external force. We need to be seeking joy, joy coming from the inside. Remember that what seems so important now is only temporal. You need to be concerned about eternity. This plane, however many years, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, whatever you get, it's only temporal. It's only temporary. What comes after this is eternal. And the only way that you get to eternal is that you're going to have to give an account. Remember that you're going to have to give an account for your life to God. And he ain't going to ask you, you know, well, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that or why wouldn't you like so-and-so? He's going to ask you, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you do what I made
Depart
you to
from
do?
Me. Amen.
Remember that I only have to please one person, and that's God.
Come on.
You don't even have to please yourself. You need to please God and what God asks you to do.
Amen.
And that's found in the Ten Commandments in the first two. You must not have any other God before me, and you should not make
Come
for
on.
Yourself an idol of any kind.
Ooh.
Any kind. Not just handmade, not just, I mean, that's job, that's money, that's other people.
Amen.
Remember that God shaped me to be me, not somebody else. God specifically made you to be different. We're all different. He made us for a purpose. You need to know that God shaped you to be you and not somebody else. And he's not going to ask you, why wouldn't you like your mother, your brother, your father, your sister? God isn't going to ask that.
Come on.
He's not going to ask you that. He's going to ask you, did you fulfill the purpose that I created you for? Did you,
All right.
Brother Mateo, Eric, Dr. Susie, Brett, Brian, Jones, Derek, and everybody else listening, did you fulfill the purpose that I, God, the Creator, made you for?
Amen. Amen.
I want to leave you with this pondering. Think about that, because that's going to be the first question when you stand before God. Because he already knows everything else.
Amen.
And he knows whether you did or not.
Amen.
He wants to know if you're going to be truthful about it.
Amen. Come on.
Dr. Susie.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We want to thank you, Eric, for the Bible study tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Eric.
As we've gone through this Bible study, how has reading through this book together refocused or redirected your life purpose? What have been some of the most helpful insights to you? Go back home, journal, think about these things. Hopefully you were taking notes as we went through it. Who does God bring to mind that you could share this information with? And understand that we are going directly into Revelations next week. And for those of you who need to know the book, we have it on the Brother Mateo, if you want to be on the Bible study line, send me a text, and I'll make sure you have that to let me know, to let you know when we, what the information is that we study on the Bible study. We can add you, because you know we're looking for you now. So
yes, ma'am.
Amen.
And we'll get you on a regular response. So I will contact you directly after the Bible study, but I just want you guys to know that we are beginning next week talking about Revelations. We're doing the Wiersbe Bible study. In Christ, you are an overcomer as we deal with Revelations. Revelations.
Amen.
So if you
Amen.
Need help, it's an 8-week study on Revelations. We're asking that you get that Wiersbe book. It's very inexpensive. It's $6. And that you find some other external source to help you, whatever one you want to bring to the table, that we expect you to say, you know, as I was studying, I heard this from whoever that person is, and bring it to the table, their understanding, so that we can all talk about it, and then how you glean from it. We are excited to have the study next week. Again, I'll send it out in the email, in the email message link, and let's go to God in prayer. Most Holy God, we just ask if there's anybody out there tonight who has learned something about this purpose-driven life that God calls them to, and they would like to have a personal relationship with you, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that they will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God died and Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and that they believe that when their time comes that they too would be raised with Christ. And we believe, oh
Amen.
God, in these things, and we ask that those individuals who confess that, who believe that, who know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and are willing to dedicate their lives on living and learning and sharing who Jesus is, who Christ is, because it's we believe that there's only one way to the Lord, and that's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're interested, Amen. If you believe in that and you've made that confession, we claim you as a brother or sister in the Lord. We ask that you get involved in a Bible-believing church and that you join us continually for Your Place Love Connection, where you can continue to grow and you bring family and friends with you. So all of those of you who are on the line tonight, we ask that you bring one person with you next week as we begin our study on Revelations. God's blessings be with you. We're so excited to have you, and I'll pass the hand to Brett.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Invite someone and have them call in along with you to 646-478-4932. Remember, Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. Thank you for being here this week, and join us next Tuesday. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good to hear from you, Mom Jefferson. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.